The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus took Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. It is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He hardly knew what to say. He was terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. From the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. The Gospel of the Lord. Year on the second Sunday of Lent, we have the Gospel of the Transfiguration, and talking to Monsignor during the week, after 56 years, he was saying to me, "What the hell are we going to say on Sunday about this Transfiguration that we haven't said before?" You can imagine, you know, the tendency to repeat yourself. But, you know, thank God. This is where I think the Holy Spirit works. It works for me anyhow. That I gain new insights and I see a part of that gospel and that reading of the Transfiguration that I didn't maybe see before. And I think it's more about us here today, about our transfiguration and our, what you might call, transformation, rather than it is just about Jesus. Because put it this way, and I might need to repeat this again because it's so important. Jesus did not come to change God's mind about us, but he came to change our mind about God. Now, that might not make a lot of sense when I say it first, but put it this way. I think our image of God, and most of older people I find, and the young people too, our attitude to God is possibly one of fear. If I say to most people, "Do you believe in God?" Most people, hopefully all of you, and many people out there passing by say, "Yes." But if I say to you, "Do you believe that God is for you more than you are for yourself?" You'd probably say, "Well, I don't know about that, because I'm not a good person." Or, well, I've got lots of faults, I've got lots of failings, I got lots of sins. I might have a habit of sin. And you might even go so far as say, well, how could God love me? But that's the amazing thing about God. He loves you as you are. And he doesn't let any faults you have or failings you have come between God and you, between him and you. He doesn't, or between her and you, because we don't know that God is a man. He could be, he's the perfection of male and female. So God doesn't allow anything come between us. But we do. We do many, many, many times because of our particular attitudes and so on. And so we got to get away. As in the first reading this morning, we're dealing with a God of anger who must be placated. And so we have poor Abraham there with his son. And at the last moment, it was changed. But the most important thing said in the gospel this morning, if you are really listening, is listen to him. Listen to him. So I want to give a couple of minutes on that and not keep you too long. Listen to him. I think, and you can put your hand up an object and that's fine. I think most of us are poor listeners. Now, you might object to that, but I think that is pretty true. And then I can maybe qualify that further and say that between men and women, I think women are much better listeners. So if any man wants to object to that, you can now leave. But I think that is pretty true. Men are not great listeners. If I really want to have a heart-to-heart conversation, personally, I find it much easier to have a heart-to-heart, soul-to-soul with a woman rather than with a man. But go back to ourselves. I want you to look at yourself this morning and say, are you a good listener? And then we come to the word pray and prayer. And the word for pray in Greek is the word pros, UK, P-R-O-S, E-U-C-H-E. And if you draw a line down between P-R-O-S and E-U-C-H-E, it's amazing what you work out. Pros, P-R-O-S, is paying absolute attention. Absolute attention. Eye to eye, really paying absolute attention. And UK is a longing, a desire, a wish to be closer to that person. So if you look at prayer like that, doesn't that make a lot of sense? Pros, paying absolute attention, looking eye to eye, and a wish, a longing, a desire to be closer, to be more intimate. Now apply that to prayer, and it really, really is beautiful, because again, go back to prayer, and most of us feel prayer is about babbling on, asking God for things. It's not. The best form of prayer is just to be quiet, to be silent. To be silent. And that's where the problem is. Most of us cannot bear silence. It even happens when we come to Mass, we seem to have to be doing something all the time, whereas sometimes just to be silent, to put up with silence. Why do we find silence so difficult? Because most of us have a fear, and I include myself here, a fear of being just with myself, totally with myself, where I've got to just be with me as I am. And so you find, and I'm not looking at anybody in particular, but so we find most of us nowadays always need to have noise in the background, always, either a television or a radio, or some noise. We just can't be, we can't seem to bear silence. What did God say in the gospel today? Listen to him. And then when you're out there in the beautiful fresh air and this beautiful part of the country where we have beautiful sunshine every day, and you're out there enjoying God's beautiful air and a lovely time to be silent, what happens? You're walking along and you've got a phone in your hand. Or you've got plugs in your ears and you're listening to something and you're going along like this. So you've got to have noise. I sometimes think that I'm breaking some law here in this country, because when I'm out walking, I don't have a dog to walk along with and I don't have a phone in the hand. I normally have, I carry a little rosary piece with me, and I'm just praying my rosary silently. And I just, it's a time of the day when I love being out there, one of the best times, and being silent, being just silent, doing nothing. And so, listen to him. Listening is a vital part of prayer. So I'm going to make a suggestion to you, not beginning tomorrow, but beginning today. And this is not something impossible, it's something very possible, something very possible. Take 5 minutes out of your day, every day, and give it totally to God. Now by that I mean, go into maybe the smallest room in your house, the bathroom, or sit silently, if you happen to be on your own, sit silently for 5 minutes and listen. And listen. There's a beautiful story, I forget all the details, but of this man, every day when he passed by his local church, he went in and he sat down in the back of the church, and his name was Jim, and he says, "Hello, Lord. It's Jim," and never said another thing. And he found that his whole life changed. He just came in. Now, if you visit a friend or your good friend, isn't it lovely to sit and listen? Sit and listen. You don't need to be talking all the time. Or if you're with somebody that you're comfortable with, you can just be silent. I find, if I admit this, if I'm with somebody that I am not comfortable with, I feel I got to be talking all the time to overcome my discomfort. But when I'm just comfortable with somebody, it's lovely. And if you're not comfortable with the Lord, who are you comfortable with? Who are you comfortable with? So from now on, begin with just 5 minutes, not more, and just give 5 minutes of quality time, not the last thing at night when you're tired. Just sit for 5 minutes, and you can say, Jesus, it's John, it's Susie, it's Anne. I've just come to say hello. And just be quiet. Be totally quiet.